passage today comes from the book of Psalms. And so if you have your Bibles with you, please open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 13. It's just a short psalm, and it's one of my favorite psalms. It's only 6 verses, so let's read together Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And we ask God to bless the reading of his holy word to our hearts. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. And as we consider your word together this morning, open our hearts and our minds to hear you. And we pray all these things in the holy name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So my friends, I will start this morning telling you a story from a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine. And he was telling me that at his first church, just at the beginning of his ministry, one of his first tasks was to visit people. And shortly after arriving at the first church, the elders from the church told him that one of his tasks would be to visit 6 people specifically. And they said, but we hope you visit these people on a regular basis. And they also said that they all have been hospitalized at some point for depression. And they need comfort through Bible reading and prayer. And I remember this pastor saying that the first 5 weeks went really well. He was able to bring smiles and conversation and comfort into their homes. However, the 6th visit did not go as well as the 5 first ones, because he was visiting a woman, and this woman had a son, her oldest son, and unfortunately, he died. He died of heart disease 2 years before they met, and he was only 19 or 20, and he was interested in farming, and it was hoped that someday he would take over the family farm, so full of dreams. And after his funeral, his mother retreated into a silence that no one could get her out. She stopped eating, she started smoking. More than once, unfortunately, she overdosed of medication. That was a really sad story. By the time this pastor, my friend, saw her, she had lost over 30% of her body weight. She spent 20 or more hours every day in bed or in her couch. She no longer practiced any personal hygiene. She didn't even bother with simple things like brushing her hair or putting a wee touch of makeup. She was his biggest challenge in that church. And after hearing this story, I questioned myself. It really challenged me. And I asked myself, if I was this pastor dealing with this situation, What could I say? What Bible passage could I read, could I bring? What prayers could I offer that would help her to begin the healing process? So I was reflecting in this story that I came across with Psalm 13. And when you read Psalm 13, it's not necessary to read Psalm 13 more than once to detect a note of depression in David. And like the woman in the story I just told you, David felt forgotten. He had that no one seemed to care syndrome. David was in a state of despair. He felt absolutely miserable in his soul. And this psalm, Psalm 13, does not tell us why David felt this way, right? But when we search to 1 Samuel, we can take an educated guess, I would say. And I think we all remember that when David killed Goliath, he became the man of the hour, the hero of Israel. And King Saul rewarded him. David went to become a successful soldier, so successful that the people praise him more than the king. So this aroused King Saul's jealousy. Saul hated David and his popularity. And the end result of this was attempted murder. And David fled for his life. And for the next few years, he was hunted by Saul. In the same way as a man hunts for a wounded deer. And those were not easy years for David, my friends. Not at all. He was forced to live in the hills of Judea. More than once, he barely escaped with his life. He had to hide in caves, in underbushes, and in valleys. He faced hunger, thirst, filth, and dirt. And here he was, the anointed future king of Israel, existing like a beast in the wilderness. So, in such situation, wouldn't me, like David, entertain moments of doubt, despair, misery, and depression? And I would say so. So it is against this kind of setting here that David wrote the words of Psalm 13. And the psalm itself is a cry to the Lord. It's a cry to the Lord. And it begins in the pit of despair. It moves to a time of hope, and it finishes at the top mountain peaks of joy. So we're going to go together on those verses. So let's start with the state of despair that David was. It is swamped by the burdens and trials of life. We hear four expressions of David's despair in depression. And first of all, David complains that God has forgotten him forever. Check verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? And I'm sure every family has a story like those two stories I'm about to tell you. And one of those stories happened this week as I was preparing the sermon. I was going through my notes. I was reading the passage. I was checking some commentaries. Paula was on her phone chatting to her mom, and we lost track of time. When we realized it was 10 minutes past 3, and we forgot David in school. We forgot him. So we panicked. Paula went absolutely running to the school. I phoned the office. Poor Wissol was there sitting in the office. He was fine. But the first thing he said is, "Why did you forget me, Mom? Why did you forget me, Dad?" Luckily, he wasn't angry with us, but it's not nice to feel abandoned, isn't it? And the second story is also about Paul and I. So that was a few years ago. We went to Asda to do some shopping. And I had David inside the trolley. And Paula had Bianca in the buggy. And we went different ways to do our shopping, divide and conquer style, because if you have kids and you go to shopping, you need to be quick. But so while going through the aisles, I met Paula again. But for my surprise, Paula was by herself. So I just asked her, "Where is Bianca?" So Paula just panicked, running to one side. I panicked, running to the other side. Suddenly, a guy in a microphone said, "There's a baby here in aisle 19. So we just run there. She was sound asleep. She didn't even notice that she was forgotten. And we are lucky that this happened a few years ago, because I'm sure that this was today, she would have lots to say about it, lots to complain about it. Because I know that it's not nice to feel abandoned, is it? It's not nice to feel abandoned. So that's what David's saying here. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? And so many people today are forsaken. Have so many sad stories happening today. Babies are abandoned on someone's doorstep, or in a car park, or in a dumpster somewhere. An increasing number of people abandon or forsake their marriage partner. Elderly parents are abandoned in nursing homes or hospitals, and they are rarely visited. And I imagine there are some in our church family who have gone through tough times or tense situations. And in the midst of those circumstances, they have felt forsaken by all. And even in the worst possible moments of life, when all seem to have forsaken us, we can usually comfort ourselves with the thought that our parents or our spouse still understand and care. And even if those close to us forsake us, we know there is always one, God, who will never leave us or forsake us. But David here, like the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross, doesn't even have the comfort of the Lord's presence. Do you remember Jesus' cry of anguish from the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? And David felt that way here. David has been tested for so long that he wonders if God has abandoned him. David has gone so long without any hope of relief, that he wonders if God has deserted him. So he's crying, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" And these words, my friends, these words of David are nothing less than perplexing. And I say this because time after time, God is presented on the pages of Scripture as being so faithful, so faithful. His promise to His people is, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Do you remember how the Apostle Paul puts this in the book of Romans? He asks, Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Then he answers in verses 38 and 39, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Never once did God fail to live up to this. When Israel cried out to God because of the cruel bondage they suffered in Egypt, He heard and delivered them. When the children of Israel stood hopeless between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army, God came to their defense and delivered them from their enemies. But here, in the wilderness, being chased and hunted by King Saul, David feels abandoned and forsaken. And in his second expression of despair and depression, David complains. He complains that God doesn't care about him. The second part of verse 1, how long will you hide your face from me? So not only has God abandoned him, but David feels that God has lost all interest in him too. In other words, David was saying, you said you would take care of me, God. You would bear my burdens and lift my loads. But that certainly does not seem to be the case. As far as David is concerned, God wants nothing to do with him. In his third expression of despair and depression, David complains again. He complains that he has to work things out himself. Notice what he says in verse 2. How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? In the Hebrew word translated here to English as take counsel in my soul, or in another English translations, wrestle with my thoughts, means to plan. So David has begun to plan his way out. He has been forced to take matters into his own hands. And I need to ask you this question. Is this the biblical way of dealing with adversity? Is this how the Christian is supposed to deal with the troubles in life? Are we to help ourselves? So it would be good to us to be reminded of what the Bible says about this. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. Hallelujah. As in all of life, in times of trouble too, we are to depend upon the Lord. We are to depend upon the Lord. And what happens when we, like David, take matters into our own hand? Take a look at what the second part of verse 2 says. And have sorrow in my heart all the day. When you depend on yourself, you can only expect sorrow, strain, frustration, and worry. So instead of helping ourselves, instead of depending on our own efforts, what we must do is depend upon the Lord. In his fourth expression of despair and depression, David again complains that he's been humiliated. Check the second part of verse 2. How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? And I believe that David's pride is speaking here. After all, he is God's chosen servant. He has been anointed as king. So what is he doing here in the wilderness, being hunted like a wild animal? So he complains and complains. And four times in verses 1 and 2, David asks, how long? It becomes clear that it's not the trial itself, but the length of the trial that is getting to David. David has been under the gun for such a long time already that he is beginning to grow weary and tired. So he cries, how long? How long, God? And there is nothing new about this cry here. More than once, the woman I mentioned at the start of my message asked my friend the same question. How long? And her husband and his children, with tears in their eyes, asked, how long? And also us, when we or our loved ones faced trials, that becomes our cry as well. How long, O Lord? But even though David's been complaining here, David is doing one thing right here. He is quite right in asking this question of God. You see, God not only designs the depths of our trials, but their lengths as well. The length of our trial is in God's hand. But let's move on. So, when we move from verse 2 to verse 3, we notice that something has happened. Something has happened between verses 2 and 3. That causes David to change his tone a bit. Perhaps he reread the words he had written and suddenly realized that they were filled with self-pity. Maybe one of his companions took him to the side and told him to change his tone and maybe stop feeling sorry for himself. Maybe, I'm just speculating here, because we don't really know what happened. But three changes become evident. As we read verses 3 and 4, we notice a tone of hope here. So he moves from despair and depression there's a change of tone here, for a tone of hope. First, instead of viewing the Lord as being distant and unconcerned, David says, "Consider me, consider and answer me." And don't miss what he calls the Lord in verse 3. He says, "O Lord, my God." It seems that David no longer feels that the Lord has abandoned him. Second, David asks the Lord to light up his eyes. And I'm sure you have heard it said that the eyes are the gateway to the soul. And when someone feels overwhelmed, it is the eyes that give you away. His eyes had become hard, flat, empty and dull. When inner joy lives, so does the shine on someone's eyes. Third, instead of worrying about the enemy, David now releases his enemy to the Lord. So verses 3 and 4, he says, "Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken." So notice here, David in his prayer puts his enemy into God's hands. And as we continue to read Psalm 13, we notice that the first word in verse 5 is "but." And that alerts us to a contrast. David was complaining. He was despairing. He was suffering. He was depressed. His eyes had lost their shine. But now he's trusting and rejoicing in the Lord. Verses 5 and 6, "But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." So think about this. David's circumstances have not changed. King Saul was still chasing him. He was still dirty and tired and being hunted like a wild animal. Nothing around David was different. And yet, David's conclusions were totally the opposite of what he had just complained about. So what has changed in David's attitude here? What has changed so David can say now, "I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me"? Or in other words, the Lord has been good to me. Do you know why this change began to take place in David's heart, in life? It began to take place when David looked upwards rather than outwards. It began to take place when David looked to God rather than to himself in his circumstances. It began to take place when David's focus turned to God in God's salvation and not himself. And my friends, what is true for David, it's also true for us. All we need to do is focus on Christ and salvation we have in Christ. Don't have a pity party. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't go around saying, I'm done. Because when you look to God in Christ, nothing else counts. Nothing else matters. And all your problems seem as nothing. Look to God. And this reminds me of why God allows trials in our lives. Trials are designed for us, not for our surroundings. God uses trials to train us, to shape us, and to make us grow. And when it comes to trials, to hardships, we have not learned what God wants us to learn until we can say, the Lord has been good to me. The Lord has dealt bountifully with me. And I have always liked what Psalm 119 says about trials and suffering. So Psalm 119 verse 71 says, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. Also verse 75 says, I know, O Lord, that your laws are righteous, and in faithfulness you have afflicted me. So did you catch that? Trials are good for us. They are for our good. Do you remember when the Apostle Paul came to realize this? The Apostle Paul struggled with a thorn in the flesh. And he tells us what God said to him when he asked God to remove this thorn. In 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So when we face trials, in hardships, in sorrows. I know that it's easy to complain, to despair. And it's natural to become depressed, to have our eyes losing their shine. It's a natural, it's part of the human nature. But this little psalm here in front of us teaches us to look to God and find in Him what we need. This little psalm teaches us to count the Lord's blessings. And it teaches us to look specially at salvation and grace and mercy and forgiveness in our Lord Jesus Christ. Then, and only then, we can learn and grow from what God allows in our life. Then and only then, we can start on the road to recovery and healing and wholeness. So look to God. Look to God. Count the Lord's blessings in your life. And look to the salvation, to the grace, the mercy, and forgiveness we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. And you will find in Him what you need to face trials and hardships and sorrows. To God alone be the glory. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the assurance and comfort we find in your word. Thank you because you are our refuge and our hope. And we can say without any doubt that the Lord has been good to us. Help us to look to you alone when we are facing hardships and sorrows. Help us to count every blessing in our lives. And help us to look to the salvation and forgiveness and mercy and grace we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. And in His holy name, we pray all these things. Amen. We're now going to listen to our final.